Well, good morning and welcome to our Good Friday service. We are so glad that you can join with us this morning. We again at CBC have been blessed by a rich vein of creativity. Normally, as we gather in our church building to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, we love to embrace the arts and music and drama. Even though we're in a season of the church ungathered, we are still blessed by the great creativity of this tree. And my message this morning will have the tree as a strong theme throughout our time together in God's Word. Today's title of this message is One Tree, One Saviour, and One Hope. Let's flow through these topic titles this morning. One tree. You know, when I was a kid, I really loved to climb a tree. I can always see that tree after kids' church every Sunday I would love to climb. And that pine tree in Yarrawarra Primary School that I would often climb, boy, that tree constantly got me into trouble. This week, I was really amazed to come across a massive subculture of tree climbers. Did you know that there is an international competition where tree climbers gather? Who would have thought that there is a tree climbing community? I think I've certainly missed my calling growing up. And now, kids, I haven't given you permission to just go out and start climbing trees. Make sure you get your parents' permission, but go do it. Tree climbing is seriously fun. I think trees are amazing. Trees can live up to 5,000 years old. In fact, they are amongst the oldest living things on this planet. In fact, every birthday, God gives a tree a ring. But think about the tree with me for a moment. Trees, they give and they spend their whole life constantly giving for our benefit. If we consider the tree for a moment, it cleans the air. It holds back erosion. Trees are life. Trees are beauty. Trees provide nourishment and protection. A tree, it spends its whole life giving. I think the worst thing that a tree can do is to be used to kill someone, because that's not why a tree exists. It exists to give, not take life. And here on this Good Friday, we remember that a tree, it was stripped of its roots, it was stripped of its branches, and it became an instrument of torture and death where our Lord Jesus was crucified. It's worth in this moment just pausing and acknowledging that the death of Jesus is rooted in history. In fact, Tacitus, who is a Roman historian, has written in the Annals of Imperial Rome this statement about Jesus. Christus, from whom the name Christians had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate, in Judea. Jesus' death is rooted in history. But the question I have is, why did God choose to have Jesus executed on a cross using a tree? Why did God do it that way? I think it's important to note as we move through this idea of one tree that the Bible, it's littered with trees as a strong motif. The first page of the Bible in the book of Genesis has a tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the last page of the Bible in Revelation, a book called Revelation, has a tree, the tree of life. The flood, the fall, and even the overthrow of Pharaoh, all has a tree marking the spot. In fact, the Bible also claims to be a tree of life. We have a look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. We read this: "She, being God's wisdom, is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." Even the Bible itself, the Bible claims to be a tree of life, God's wisdom for us. And if we embrace the Bible, then we will be blessed. In fact, the Bible also says that in a poetic way, that we are to be like a tree planted by streams of water so that we can yield fruit in its season. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, we read, "But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water." In other words, if we choose to live inside God's boundaries, we will experience life. Living inside of God's boundaries, it's like we become poetically a tree planted by streams of water. God's word becomes living water to nourish our soul so that we can be fruitful in life. Even Jesus, in John chapter 15, he referred himself as being the vine and our Father in heaven, the gardener. Jesus said, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." The very appearance of Jesus was also likened to a tree. In the book of Isaiah, which was written hundreds of years before Jesus existed, Isaiah the prophet said this about Jesus in chapter 53, verse 2. "He, being Jesus, grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him." See, even the very appearance of Jesus, it's referred to as him being a shoot, like a root being pulled out of dry ground. Jesus, he grew up in a carpenter shop. He worked with timber. When he taught that the kingdom of God was like a tree. He called his disciples from under the branches and sinners. He called Zacchaeus down from a tree. Jesus' favorite place to pray was an olive grove. So why? Why did God choose to have Jesus executed on a tree? Because in history, there was one particular tree that burst forth from the soil and it grew and it grew and it grew. And there was one particular tree that would be stripped of all its branches and its roots, and it would actually become an instrument of torture, taking away life, the life of our Savior. So why did God choose to use a tree? You see, it's the only thing that would actually kill Jesus was a tree. From the moment that Jesus was born, people tried to kill him. They tried to stab him, stone him, throw him off a cliff, but it wouldn't work. In fact, Jesus went 40 days in the wilderness where he didn't eat food, and only to go into the ring with the toughest adversary, being Satan, and after three rounds with Satan, he came out victorious. So why did God use a tree? We see the Bible's pretty clear for us that it was only a tree that would be the curse of God. It wasn't a stoning, it wasn't a stabbing, it wasn't a drowning, it was a tree that would kill Jesus. And this is why God used the tree. In Deuteronomy chapter 21 in the Old Testament, verses 22 to 23, we read this. If a person is guilty of a capital offense, is put to death, and his body is hung on a tree, you must not leave his body on the tree overnight. Be sure to bury him that same day. Here it is. Because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. A tree. It captured God's curse that Jesus, when he hung on that cross, he would take God's wrath for our sin and the curse that sin brings, which is death, so that we could actually live for all eternity. One tree, one Savior. And Jesus died on that tree so that we wouldn't. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus is our one Savior. Why? Because we, all around the world as humanity, we have one big problem in common, and that is we rebel against God. We turn our back on God. We say to God, I know best. We may not exactly say that to God, but our lifestyle reflects that attitude, I know best. And when we live life according to our own way of living, then that separates us from God. The Bible calls that sin. It's rebellion against God. But God, he's created you for a relationship with himself. But God, who is holy, he's without sin. He cannot have a relationship with us because of our sin. It separates us from God. So God, in his great love for you and I, he sent Jesus to this earth who lived a life that we can't, a life of perfection. He took the very curse of God, the curse of sin, by being cursed on that tree. All of your sin, all of my sin, it was laid upon Jesus. And now we have the opportunity to say, I need you, God. Forgive me. I want to follow you. And when we dare to do that, we can actually have a relationship with God again. Jesus, he took the punishment that we deserve. On this Good Friday, we remember how far humanity sank, and yet how far God would go to reach out to us. One tree, one Savior, one hope. And what is our hope? Well, I trust that you have your elements ready for communion. For our hope is that we can experience Jesus Christ actually living in us. We can experience a power greater than ourselves. And don't we need that more now than ever? We face a very uncertain future. If you are feeling anxious, well, so do I. If you are feeling a sense of grief because you've lost something, so do I. If you're concerned about where is this all going, well, so am I. I too need a power greater than myself, which is the power of Jesus Christ living in me, and that becomes our hope. And the Apostle Paul had these profound words for us in Colossians chapter 1, 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christianity is power. We actually get to plug into the greatest power source, which is our Father in heaven that made the universe. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can experience a freedom in the struggle when Christ lives in us. We're talking about real, transformative, eternal power. And right now, the hand of Jesus is reaching out to you. Wherever you are watching right now, God's hand is actually right there. God's hand is right alongside of you. The Apostle Paul says, the Lord is near. God's hand, he's right there. Right there in your living room, wherever you find yourself, God's hand is there. All you need to do is to reach out and grab hold. His hand is there. And if you have eyes of faith, you can actually see where nails as thick as my thumb pierced his wrists because he hung on that cursed tree for you because God loves you. His hand is there. Just grab it. And we do that by saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I want to follow you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And as we come around the Lord's table on this Good Friday, all we're doing is reaching out and grabbing hold of our Creator's hand. When Jesus had his disciples before his death in an intimate meal, he shared this meal and he used some bread as a symbol of his body. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. And that's what we want to do right now. We want to take some bread. And as we tear apart that bread, it's like it's a powerful symbol of the body of Christ being torn apart on that tree for us. So take some bread. And remember the body of Christ. By holding onto this bread, you're reaching out to his hand. Eat in remembrance of Jesus. Pray a confession that you need him and that you want to follow him. Jesus, then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to his disciples, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's take this cup and whatever fluid you have in that, it's a symbol that reminds us that on that tree, the curse of God for our sin rested on Jesus' shoulders so that we can be completely forgiven and so that Christ can live in us the hope of glory. Let's drink in remembrance of Jesus Christ. If communion wasn't a part of your reflection of Jesus Christ and reaching out to His hand, I'd love to give you an opportunity right now just to reach out and grab hold of our Jesus' hand. He hung on that cross for you. Reach out to Him. All I'd like to do is just to pray a prayer, and if you would like to, pray along with me. I'm going to give you an opportunity to experience Christ in you, the hope of glory, real power for us to overcome, both for today and for all eternity. Pray with me. You may want to pray aloud. You may want to pray in the quietness of your own heart and mind. God sees this moment, and He sees you reaching out for Him, and you will experience the hand of God holding you as you pray this with me. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for hanging on that cross for my sin. Forgive me, Jesus. I am sorry. I want to follow you. I need your power in my life today. Help me find freedom in the struggle. Lord Jesus, I just pray for all those that chose to grab hold of your hand today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there, wherever we find ourselves, your hand is right there. Thank you that we can just reach out and grab hold of your hand, and you will hold on to us for all eternity. Lord, I pray that your power would come more than ever into our life. Thank you for your power in us. It is the hope of glory. Lord Jesus, bless us this day as we have remembered your death on a cross. And we look forward, Jesus, to Resurrection Sunday, where we can join in with you in new creation song, that we are also becoming new creation. Lord Jesus, walk with us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining with us today. If you would like to continue a conversation with us, please just click on the prayer requests. And one of our hosts would love to be talking with you to encourage you in the steps you've taken today in following Jesus. God bless CBC.